we're the Saska sisters, and you're listening to the Magnus. Lochness?
Magnus.
Magnus. That's what I thought. Okay, wait. This is a hot one. Keep the whole thing. Okay, this 1, 2, 3. Hi, we're the Saska sisters, and you're listening to the Magnus. Hi, we're the Saska sisters, and you're listening to the Magnus podcast.
Welcome to the show, Magnus Podcast, episode 98, back with the solo show, like Han, but we got East Society coming in later on today. But hey, man, this is an episode where I want to talk about my adventure down in New Mexico at Albuquerque Comic Con 2018. I went down there last month, I believe. I know I'm late with this show. I was supposed to put it out a while ago, but I had an awesome time down there, saw an awesome band perform, and got 3 awesome interviews for you guys. The first one is going to be with Comic Book Men's Ming Chen, also known for I Sell Comics, and the Mike and Ming podcast. So, and also got 2 N-Warrior brothers, and that's Enoch and Manasseh. Also, 2 awesome brothers down there, amazing artists, so... I guess just start from the beginning. Went down there on a Friday, and just when I first got there, I went to Astro Zombie Comics. It's on Central. I couldn't tell you the address. Look up Astro Zombies and you'll see what store. It's an awesome comic book store, and they got cool collectibles. I went in there. Oh, when I drove by, I saw this big line. Like, what the hell's going on here? And realized that they were having a signing with Doyle. He was a guitar player for the Misfits, and now he's got his own solo band. He was going to be there, as well as the bass player for Ministry. I don't remember what his name is, but they were there. So there was I thought that was a line, because I was like, what the hell is the line for? I wasn't sure. And then when I parked and then walked over, I saw the flyer in the window. So they weren't there yet. So I went inside, and I was just looking at comics and buying stuff I don't need, but I just went in there basically for the new Walking Dead that was out at the time. But right now when you're listening to us, there's like, I think another issue came out. But anyway, so I went in there, and then I guess Doyle and the other dude showed up, and because people started coming in, they had a little area set up for them to do their signings and all that. So I was just still looking around. I was looking at comics. I was looking at the little collectibles or some Jason figures in there that I was possibly going to buy, but I didn't. I ran into Bones Brigade legend Steve Caballero, and that was awesome, talking to him. Just like, oh, hey, Steve, what's up, man? He goes, hey, man. And he remembered me. I had met him before. Well, I've met him numerous times and also skated with him, so. He was like, what you doing here? I said, man, I just came for the con, man, and came to see you guys play. His band, The Faction, was playing that night, the first night at a kickoff party. He was like, oh, right on, dude. And so we were just kind of chit-chatting and talking about collectibles and comics and stuff. And he was telling me about the stuff that he collects and how much stuff he has throughout the years of going. Like, this guy has been, like, all over the world, skateboarding and just for demos and all that. So it was cool to catch up with him. Hopefully I'll run into him again when I'm down at, I don't know if he's going to go to Comic-Con, but, when I do run into him, it's usually at a skate park down in, he lives in, the Carlsbad area. So I say, hey man, I'll just see you again. He was right on, dude, just keep in touch. So, it was cool to see him again, cause I haven't seen him for a while. And, Doyle and all those guys were doing their things and people were coming in, and I said, you know what? I said, I want to meet this guy. So, I'm a huge fan of the Misfits, so, I mean, I already knew who he was. This guy's big. If you guys don't know who Doyle is, look, just type in Misfits Doyle, and that's the man that is Doyle. I don't want to say they call him, like, the vegan monster or something like that. But, man, this guy is, I know he's over, at least over 50, and this guy is ripped. So, he was promoting his new album that came out It is, I think it's Abominator is the new one. I actually picked up his CDs. I picked up one there at the signing, and then I picked up the other one at the con. The one I picked up at the signing was Doyle 2, As We Die. I just love this cover. There's actually two covers for this album. The cover I got is the one that the manager was telling me that everyone loves. It's just a drawing. Also, I listened to that first. I listened to both album at both albums by now. But the first, As We Die, is badass, and that one's my favorite. The second one is Abominator. This one's just as badass. I mean, it's pretty good. You can get both of these albums on iTunes as well as Monster Man Records. Go to monstermanrecords.com and pick up Doyle's albums, man. They're really promoting these. And I was talking to the manager, and he was like, yeah, man, because I asked him, I said, hey, dude, I have a podcast, so is it cool if I play some of the music on it? He goes, yeah, man, play whatever you want. I went, okay, cool, because they're also promoting this. Man, hey, man, I'm a big fan of Doyle's, and I'll be happy to promote for him. So the music you heard, the intro music, was it was from his first album, and I believe that track is God of Flies. So I started it off with that, and I'll probably end the show with another Doyle song. But it was cool to see Doyle. Took a picture with him, got his albums, and he signed both of them, so that was awesome. And then I talked to Steve for a little bit more, and then I just I bought my tickets for the con there because they were cheaper, they said, because if you go to the door, I think they tacked on a few more dollars. So the con wasn't until later on that evening, so I just kind of bummed around Albuquerque. Couldn't meet up with any of my friends. Everybody was at work, so I was tired, too, so I basically went to the convention center, parked, and just, like, fell asleep in my car. So that was cool, just to get a break. And then I finally went in, and it was cool, man, just walking around in there. And I went 2 days. I don't know if I said it already, but I went Friday and Saturday. The first day, I just kind of just bummed around and looked at some stuff. And back at Astro Zombies, there was this Jason, NECA Jason figure. I talked about it on the East Society. I wanted to buy it. I almost bought it there at the comic store, but it was like $40. And I was like, ugh, that one's kind of steep. So I said, if they don't have anything at the con, I'll come back and get it before I go home. Because that was one I wanted for my Jason collection. So I went to the con, bummed around, started looking around, and I came across a booth, and this guy had a stack of the ones that I wanted, the Jason figure I wanted from part three. And I looked at it, and I flipped it over, and I had the price on the back, and it was $25. I was like, whoop, here you go. glad I didn't pay $40 for the earlier one at the comic store. And I waited. So that was my big score, that con. It was cool to finally get it in my collection. Bummed around, walked around, and I ran into this awesome artist, Derek, the guy that draws Eddie for Iron Maiden. Well, he created him. Derek, I can't forget his last name. I'm spacing it, but he was a cool guy. I'd met him before when I went to Kirk Hammett's Fear Festival in San Francisco. It was a horror con a few years ago. But it was cool to talk to Derek, man. I was just, yeah, man, what's up, man? And I told him when I met him before, and I love your artwork. So, yeah, he had an exclusive T-shirt that he was selling down there. It was a yellow T-shirt, had Eddie on it, and it had the red sun of from the New Mexico flag. So, and that was behind it. So it was an exclusive print that he had did, and he pumped out some T-shirts. And I noticed that some of the attendees had it on a badge. I think that was if you had like 4 days or something, or 3 days, the 3 day badge. And I was like, damn it. I would have really loved that badge, but I didn't get it. But I bought the shirt from him, cause my son, he loves Iron Maiden and he loves Eddie. So I got him that T-shirt. They didn't have my size. They didn't have the buff size, or I would have got one myself, but, it was cool to support him. He lives here in America now when we're talking to him. I also went to his panel Saturday, and that was cool. I kind of felt bad because nobody was in there for his panel, but it was cool. I was right in the front row. I just walked in, and he was already going. Nobody was sitting in that front row, so I just went and sat down. And it was cool to listen to him talk about his story on how he started his art and how he became the creator of Eddie and all that, and He done maybe the first 5-6 albums, I believe. And then I don't know who does it now, but it was his character. I think they bought the rights for it and everything. So I think they got other artists to doing it. But if that's how you got to start out somewhere. But that was cool listening to his story. But back to Friday, I ran into Enoch N. Warrior. He was an awesome artist. I met him at him and his brother, Manasseh, at Indigenous Comic Con, November last year. And I bought one of those shirts from him. So when I was walking around, I had the Oka Standoff shirt I was wearing with the Stormtrooper and First Order Trooper. So I walked past, I saw them, so I was walking towards him. And I opened up my sweatshirt, and he saw my shirt, and we're like, hey. So we just started BSing and talking and getting to know one another. So, but it was good to see him, because you got to go out there and you got to support the Native brothers and sisters that's out there doing it, hustling their work. So that was cool. I talked to him. Also, I interviewed him as well as his brother the next day. So you're going to hear that in a second. But Friday night. Oh, the interview that I'm going to start the show, we'll start it off, is I met him numerous times. I met him in New York, Jersey, as well as everywhere else. This is Ming Chen. He's from Comic Book Men. If you watch that show, it's on. It's usually on after The Walking Dead on AMC. He also has podcasts, I Sell Comics, and The Mike and Ming Show, and he had done a bunch of other ones. But it was cool, man. I mean, I talked to him. I went up to him, and he saw my shirt, my First Order, the Oka Standoff shirt. And he was like, oh, that's a cool shirt, man. He goes, where can I get it? I saw all those brothers downstairs are selling them. He was like, oh, man, he just couldn't get around because he was there promoting himself and everything. So I said, you know what, dude, I'll go down there and get you one. So I got him one, and now Ming Chen has one of the shirts. I posted a picture of him holding up the shirt on Instagram, so check it out there. But when I was talking to him, I said, yeah, man, I have a podcast. And I think that was about as far as I got. And he was like, yeah, man. He goes, you want to interview? And I was like, yeah. So that was really cool, man. He just kind of like just opened up, and I didn't even need to ask. I mean, Ming loves to podcast, and he wants to be on everybody's show. So that was really cool of him. I didn't take too much of his time. So, here's a little interview. But before that, I mean, that was all on Saturday. Let me get back to Friday. Bumming around, looking around, talking to Enoch and everything. And then I went and just looked at everything else that was there. Later that night, they had the kickoff show. And Steve Caballero's band, The Faction, from San Jose, they played. And there was not a lot of people there, but there was enough, man. But it was good to see. The Faction, man, all these older than me. So they were out there doing it still, man. They're still rocking. So it was a good show. I posted videos on Instagram and everything. Skate and Destroy was my favorite song they did. And that was the song that they used to close out the show. But it was cool to see Steve. And I was also hanging out with him and the other guys before they started playing, and then hung out with them after the set. They were just there for Friday, and then they, I guess they all took off. So, but it was good to see them play, man. I haven't seen them for a while. So, but that was Friday night. Saturday next day. I interviewed Enoch Friday. So, you know what? I'll start it off with that before I go. I'm sorry, not yet. I'm gonna start off with Ming Chen's interview, so because then I want to end it with the N Warrior brothers. So here's Ming Chen from Comic Book Men, and the hell's his shows? Oh, I Sell Comics and the Mike and Ming Show. Ming Chen, everyone.
Hey guys, we're back, Albuquerque Comic Con. I got here the man, the myth, the legend, Jersey's own Ming Chen. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, man. Dude, I'm just a podcaster. I think if you talk to Kevin when he was making all those movies, like, don't call me a director. I'm a writer. I just fell into directing. I don't, you know, this comic book man stuff is awesome, but I think you can call yourself a podcaster now. Like, you can put that on like an occupation line, but you know, occupation podcaster. That's pretty cool.
That's like for me. I go through Podbean. That's my host. Mm-hmm. And one day I looked on, just went on my page and looked, and there was a green little gem or something, and it said professional.
Yeah,
so,
man.
I'm like, oh, sweet. But
yeah, this brings me back to the days, in the early days of the internet, you know, when the web was new. And I was just messing around putting up like Clerks websites and stuff. That's how I met Kevin. But no one was paying anybody for this. And then all of a sudden, like, it was a job to put up websites and stuff. And I'm like, wow, man, this is cool. I feel like this is the same thing. Like, we're getting in early on this awesome medium, and we're going to be the kings at it. So it's going to be cool.
It's good. Once I started doing it, it's like I can't stop now.
We're never going to stop. It's great. It's so much fun.
Have so many shows. I sell comics, the Mike and Ming show. I don't know if you're going to bring back Puck Nuts or anything.
I want to bring back Puck Nuts for anybody who is a fan of our little show about New Jersey Devils hockey that we had in the store with Brian Johnson and Walt Flanagan and our friend Sunday Jeff. I had a lot of fun with that. I tried to keep it going as long as I could, but that's one where you need all four of those guys, and a couple of those guys don't want to do it anymore, so what can I do?
Yeah, I'm a San Jose Sharks fan, so...
At least you're a fan of hockey. At least you're a fan of hockey. Yeah, how great is podcasting, though?
Yeah, it's amazing, man. It's so much fun. I got so many different shows that I started doing with my friends, and I've been guests on other shows. And but what you guys do, well, the first show I heard with you was the I Sell Comics, mm-hmm. you and Mike.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, this Mike and Ming show came out, and what brought that one on?
I think I Sell Comics, Mike and I would start talking about all the cons we were going to. And people are like, we don't want to hear about your trip. We want to hear about comic books and pop culture. We don't care if you went to Stan Lee's con and you met, you know, if you met Stan Lee and Gal Gadot or whatever. So we're like, all right, we'll just make this other show where we just talk about whatever we want. And I think people will listen to that as well. It's just us being knuckleheads. But I wanted somewhere where I could talk about my trip to Albuquerque and eating breakfast burritos covered with green chili stew and like the best pozole I've ever had. And eating giant cheeseburgers and getting into adventures and jumping in bad Ubers. Like, I really wanted to, you know, that's what the podcast is all about, where you can talk about whatever you want. I understand if you have a show called I Sell Comics, you're supposed to kind of focus on something. But so I started another, I'm like, Mike, start another show where we just talk about whatever we wanted, and people kind of latched onto it. So thank you for everyone who listens to that in our silly adventures. I think in the end, and you probably find it the same way, you just like to vent about what you did and just put it on the record. People listen to it, great. If they don't, you know, maybe it's not for everybody, but it's for us first and foremost.
I'm just an avid fan of Tell 'Em Steve Dave, and I love when you come on there, but I love Brian to death. I love Walt and Q, but when Brian does his impersonation of you, I mean...
It's pretty funny. It doesn't even sound like me, but you know, that's the Brian John does his Ming voice where he does his own version of me speaking in a Chinese accent, and I'm like, I was born in Ohio, bro. I don't speak with a Chinese accent, but it's pretty funny.
I've seen you in one of Kevin's movies, yes. Dogma.
Yes.
The strip club scene. How was that filming, watching Salma Hayek dance?
It's pretty amazing. So Kevin Coleman's like, hey, can you come to Pittsburgh for 2 days? I want to put you in my new movie, Dogma. And I thought he was just going to throw me in the background or somewhere, but I get there and I'm like, where do you want me? It's like, I want you to sit next to me and Jay and Silent Bob. You know, me and Jay is Jay and Silent Bob. And Chris Rock is going to come by, and Linda Fiorentino is going to come by. You're going to watch Salma Hayek take her clothes off. I'm like, oh, okay, this is a lot more than I thought I was going to do. And he's like, hey, can you just act like you like it, like you're liking this? Like, that's my only direction to you, just act like you're liking it. I'm like, I guess I could do that. It's going to be hard, and you know, I'm going to go method with this, but yeah, I'm going to try to do that. And that's, I did that for 2 days, and then like 4 weeks later in the mail, I got a check. I actually got paid to do that, so it's pretty awesome. You work with Kevin, cool stuff happens. That, start podcast, he puts you on a TV show. It's pretty amazing.
When they came with the idea for the TV show, I mean, were you like automatically like, yeah, I'm on board? Because it always seems like you're the one that's, yep, you're the go-to guy that will do it, and everyone else is kind of like, eh, I don't know.
That's exactly what happened. I mean, I did ask some questions. I'm like, wait, they want to shoot a reality show at the store? I'm like, that's cool. He's like, no, they want you on it, and Walt and Brian and Mike. I'm like, who the heck's going to watch us? But of course, I was like, yeah, whatever you want. Like, we'll do it. We'll knock it out of the park. But in the back of my head, I'm like, how much weed did you smoke? This is like such a weird idea. Who would watch this? Who would watch four dudes sitting around arguing about comic books?
The whole world watches it.
I didn't realize that, though. I was like, wow, in every dead-end job, in every fast food restaurant, in every school, in every Comic-Con, there's another group of guys just like us having the same arguments as us, and people kind of related to that. I had no idea, though, and it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, the first time I started watching that show, I thought it was just you guys were just for the show, but when I first time I went into the stash, there you guys were.
Yeah, and we were probably arguing about something stupid, and you know, we were arguing heatedly too. And in the long run, does it matter if Porkins got killed or not? And you know, does it matter that, you know, he may have been a little chunkier than the other X-Wing pilots? They needed everyone they could get. You know, we could argue that they're really short staffed, and you know, he knew how to fly an X-Wing and blow stuff up. It doesn't matter. But you know, in the long run, does it matter? And in our world where, you know, things are going to hell, no, but to us it does. So, and us, we'll fight to the tooth and nail. I'll fight tooth and nail saying that Porkins deserved to be in an X-Wing. So
right on, man. Hey, Ming, man, thank you so much for coming on the show, brother.
Thank you. Good luck with all your podcasts. Good luck with everything, man.
I will. You guys as well. All right, guys, I'll get back to you in a second.
Right on, Ming, brother. You rock, dude. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And I just can't believe that he got to be on my show. I've listened to all his shows, and like I said, I've met him numerous times. But these next two interviews are going to be with two awesome brothers. Enoch and Manasseh and Warrior, man, you guys rock. I met them at Indigenous Comic Con last year in November, also down in Albuquerque, and I just love their work, man. Their artwork is amazing, and these guys are just two hella cool guys. So I just love what they're about, and I'm glad I got to sit down. I sat down with Enoch down in at the con, because you can hear the background noise, and then with his brother. We just did it over the phone, but it wouldn't be right without having both their interviews on this episode. So here it is, guys, the N Warrior Brothers. Hey guys, Nez here. Made it down to Albuquerque, New Mexico for the Albuquerque Comic Con, and I got a young brother right here. I met him before at Indigenous Comic Con. You guys remember all that from the, well, I don't know how many shows back, but I bought an awesome ass t-shirt from him. So I ran into him here at the con. This is Enoch Endwarrior. How you doing, brother?
Good, thank you.
Your artwork. Well, first of all, how long have you been drawing?
Wow, so I've been drawing since I was probably in elementary. My uncle actually taught me. He was a graffiti artist. And he taught me, because I would always bug him, like, how to draw. And so finally he just got fed up, so he started to teach me what he knows. I tried doing graffiti, couldn't do it to save my life, so I stuck to like comic books, graphic novels, and that's where I kind of picked it up from.
Right on. What nation are you?
I'm Navajo and Oneida.
Sweet, right on. The reason that I'm talking to Enoch right now is he has some amazing Star Wars native designs. I'll throw a picture up on the Instagram page and you'll see the t-shirt. Well, both of us will have the t-shirts that he's doing. Also, we got a stormtrooper in the picture, so that was pretty awesome. But when I saw your designs and everything at Indigenous Comic Con, I mean, I always try to help
Native brothers and sisters with their artwork. And I am a huge Star Wars fan, so that was probably one of the reasons I went, oh my God, I stopped and started looking at everything. I have a shirt, my wife has one, and my son also has a shirt just like this. That's so awesome. What made you want to do Native designs with the Star Wars flavor?
Well, initially, these were all just sketches in my note or my sketchbook. So for me, growing up, you know, there was a disconnect between myself and my culture, or the old teachings. And it wasn't because, like, my family didn't find it important, or, you know, it just wasn't... It was just something that wasn't passed down to me, you know, because both my parents worked, you know, lived off the reservation for most of my life. And so Star Wars kind of filled that gap where I guess you would call, you know, where you would hear stories from your grandparents and things like that. But then as I got older, you know, senior in high school and throughout college, I started going back to my community, to my grandparents, to specifically my grandmothers. And I just got this idea of like how similar some of the concepts or some of the things that Star Wars express. So then again, back to my uncle, he was a screen printer himself, and he actually taught me how to screen print. And that's when it kind of took off. And honestly, I was kind of nervous. I wasn't sure if people would really get what I was trying to go for, or really get like my intentions. But, you know, I'm very humbled to know how people really like my designs, and it's specifically my brother's, because, you know, the one you're wearing, that's my brother's design, and that one is just blowing up. So really, really, really cool experience.
That was describe my shirt and what we have a First Order Trooper, and just describe the design. I'll throw pictures up of this, everyone, so don't worry about it while he's describing it, and the meaning behind the shirt that I'm wearing.
Yeah, so my brother designed that, and he was really inspired by the Standing Rock. But he wanted to educate people, mainly like here in the Southwest, of like other indigenous resistance. So the one he's wearing is actually called the Oka Standoff. And in the picture on the right is a Mohawk Warrior Society member. My brother basically put a Mohawk Warrior Society member patch on his shoulder. And then on the left is a First Order Stormtrooper. It's actually based off of a picture taken during that standoff of a Mohawk Warrior Society member standing up to a Canadian commando. And basically what happened was in 1991, there was a non-native community called Oka wanted to build a luxurious golf course on Mohawk burial grounds. And so when the Mohawks found out, they tried to request the Canadian government to have their permits overturned. But just like Standing Rock, the Canadian government pretty much ignored them. So the Mohawk Warrior Society members, who were led by the clan mothers, set up blockades from the construction equipment and personnel. And so when that happened, tensions pretty much started boil over into the point where they actually had a shootout. One Canadian soldier lost his life. Three Mohawk Warrior Society members were wounded. But when everything was said and done, that land to this day stays untouched and is recognized part as Mohawk territory. And, you know, those are stories that me and my brother really want other natives to know, especially in the Southwest, because, you know, too long do you hear about Native resistance and how they would kind of fizzle out, especially after, you know, the treaty and reservation era. You know, not too many times do you hear something like successful happen. And so it's really the drive of just teaching what we know, historical, cultural, traditional teachings, and just try to share it with other people. And maybe it will, like, you know, it will inspire others, or make others curious, and that's really kind of, you know, our intention with our designs.
That's awesome, dude. I love that. I love what you and your brother are doing. I mean, and I understand what you're saying. A lot of people out there, that non-natives, can't believe that we're still here.
and we have a voice. We have visions. I do this show so people can hear my voice. And yes, I talk about a lot of craziness in movies and everything, but there's always a serious side of the show. And right now here with Enoch, man, this is amazing, brother. Thank you so much. What do you have design-wise for the future?
Oh, for the future, I have...
If there's anything like in your head that you want to...
There is, actually. I have actually a design of like a Princess Leia with the Hopi hairstyle, but it says, you know, fight like a girl. And then I have another one where it's kind of similar to The Last Jedi of a woman touching the ground, and in the cracks I want to like illustrate the word reclaim, because you know initially I named my company Reclaim Dene, which is reclaim the people, Dene being the people in Navajo. But then, you know, as I really wanted to start my own business, I know that there's more tribes than Navajo. So Reclaim Designs is the idea of reclaiming designs, teachings, and just putting it out there, because, you know, like you just stated, you know, people are awestrucken to know what had happened to our people, and to know that, like, wow, you're still here. You can still cite certain aspects of your culture, and you know, you still live in that area where you're not supposed to live, and so that's.
That's cool, man. Right on, brother. Thank you so much. Hey, man, thank you so much for coming on the show, and we'll keep in touch, dude. I definitely will rock some more of your designs. And I was telling this young sister over here, I'm going down to San Diego Comic-Con, and Friday is Star Wars Day, and this is the shirt I'm going to be wearing when I'm down there. So, but hey, man, thank you so much for coming on the show. Any last words?
No, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity, and I'm really pumped you're going to be showing Reclaim Designs.
Right on. One last question. What did you think of The Last Jedi?
You know, I like when things take a different turn. I like when things are not following the usual rut. You know, the movie myself, I loved it because it showed that it's just not the Skywalkers who have the power. That can be from anybody. That anyone can take up the mantle, anyone can have the Force, anyone can really, you know, spark the fire to the rebellion. And that to me really, like I kid you not, I felt that movie so much.
Well, after The Force Awakens, when Last Jedi came out, was it the movie that you were hoping for, or were you just totally surprised?
I was totally surprised. I was, The Last Jedi, like, I mean, The Force Awakens, it had a surprising death. And then The Last Jedi, they just topped it again with even more surprises. And so that I really enjoyed it.
So did I. I mean, the reason I asked that, because there's been a lot of hate, well, dislike for the movie. I mean, I can understand what some of the people are the negative comments and everything. I mean, I did have a few issues with it, and it wasn't the movie that I wanted, but I still loved it.
Yeah.
If I didn't love it, I saw it 5 times in the theater, and I'm going to see it more. But when I meet Star Wars fans, I always want to know what they thought of it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. Like, I don't know. Just that movie, for me, just hit home. I mean, the lessons it was trying to teach, the villains that they were trying to build up to me, just culminated into something that, like you said, there's things that I really didn't like, but then, you know, rewatching it, it's just, it's Star Wars.
Yeah. Hey, man, right on, brother. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And we'll be back later on, guys. Hey, guys, welcome back to the show. I got an awesome artist with me right here. You just heard from his brother a few seconds ago. And this is Manasseh Endwarrior. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. Just happy to be here.
Well, that's good, man. The reason I had you and your brother on the show for this episode
I met you guys back during at the Indigenous Comic Con when I bought one of your shirts, the Oka Standoff shirt with the First Order Stormtrooper. I love Star Wars, and I know you and your brother do as well. Well, we'll start. Well, but first of all, what tribe are you? I'm sure your brother already said it, but I always have to ask.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm Navajo and Oneida.
From where? What parts?
Oneida from Wisconsin. And then I'm Navajo from Hogback area.
Oh, right on, man. That's cool. Yeah, my blood comes from Kaibato and Indian Wells. I was actually born and raised in Oakland, California, but my mom and dad are from down there. They actually moved back to the res. They retired and wanted to go back home. But how old are you? How old are you, if I can ask?
I am 20.
Okay, cool. Right on. I mean, dude, you have a long career ahead of you because the artwork that I've seen of yours is amazing, as well as your brother, man. I mean, you guys are just awesome artists. How old did you say you were when you first started with your artwork?
When I first started, when I was pretty young, but then I kind of stopped for a while, and then I kept on seeing my brother drawing, and I kind of picked it back up when I was in pretty much middle school, and ever since then, from my middle school to high school to now, I've just been drawing and just trying to trying to get better than my brother.
Well, that's cool, man. Let's talk about the shirt, the Oka Standoff shirt, that design. That's what caught my eye the first time when I walked past your guys' booth, and I had to have that shirt. I bought myself one, as well as my wife and my son has one. What gave you the inspiration, and where did you come up with, or when did you come up with that design?
Yeah, so I came up with it about kind of beginning of last year. And the whole main reason why I did is because, well, my brother was telling me, like, hey, I'm going to try to start making t-shirts. You should try to make a design. And his design kind of inspired me of what he was trying to do with his designs of trying to use Star Wars to kind of encourage the youth and other people of trying to realize how a lot of things that's happened to Star Wars is kind of a lot of things that's connecting to culture, to pretty much connects to us. And so with that design, when I was making it, I kind of didn't know what to do. But at the same time, it was the same stages of when Standing Rock was happening. And so I wanted to make a design that would, I guess my main purpose was aimed towards the younger generation, my generation, because when I would talk to friends or peers, I would ask them about like AIM, Russell Means, a lot of those guys that did a lot for the people. When some of them didn't even know anything about them. And so I want to make a design in a t-shirt that would kind of let the younger ones know that, like, even though Standing Rock happened, that they are now seen and are aware of on Facebook, that to let them know that that's not the first time it's happened to Indigenous tribes, that we should worry about Standing Rock, and we should remember Standing Rock, but we should also remember a lot of the historical events that's happened within our tribe, within other tribes, where they try to step up and try to do something good for the people. And the Oka Standoff is part of the Six Nations, and my Oneida side is part of the Six Nations with the Mohawk tribe. And I really found it inspiring because every time I talk about it, it was the Mohawk tribe standing up to the Canadian military, showing that they're not scared of their military, that they're not afraid of their forces. And at the end of the day, when everything was said and done, the Mohawks were successful in defending their land against them. And so that's how I wanted to do this design. And I try to make people feel something, like try to have inspiration or try to feel that tension, or it's natives standing up against an empire, against a stormtrooper, knowing that's the image of a stormtrooper in Star Wars, people who just take things from other people, and they're just the image of a stormtrooper. And so that's why I changed the Canadian soldier to a stormtrooper, to kind of bring that attention and to show that that's an enemy that we've always been fighting against.
I mean, that's awesome, dude. I mean, like I said, that's what caught my eye. I saw the Star Wars designs on there, but out of all the images that I seen there, that one caught my eye on how powerful it was. And I was just like, I need this shirt. I mean, I have to wear this. I mean, before I even saw your design, I mean, I had forgotten about the Oka standoff. And then seeing that again,
yeah,
and talking to you guys, I was like, whoa. I mean, that was so awesome. And you're still a young guy, man, and that's good. You have a long life ahead of you, as well as doing your artwork. And I love what you're about, you and your brother, with your guys' artwork, and how you guys, like you said, you are teaching the youth. You're teaching the young. I mean, and that's amazing, dude. That's so awesome. Who was your biggest inspiration, other than your brother, to start, I mean, actually getting into artwork?
I'll probably say, like, my parents, and then last would be my uncle, because my uncle kind of started doing screen printing, and I always thought that was cool how he kind of made his own designs and screen printed them on t-shirts. And then my parents, they didn't do screen printing, but they do regalia designs. They make power outfits, and they make their own designs. My mom sews everything, and so I always thought that was cool how they made their clothing from scratch, and how they, my dad would put designs together and my mom would sew it all up together. And so that, all of that was all inspiration to me.
Man, that's good, man. I mean, I also get my inspiration from my parents as well. My father, he did a lot of artwork, not so much stuff that he put out on display. It was like a lot of just drawing on pieces of paper, and he would show us, and he would always teach me techniques on how to draw stuff. I also have dabbled in the screen printing industry. I was working for an intertribal friendship house in Oakland, and I was a part of the screen printing department. And I learned how to do it, but that was a long time ago. I mean, I'm sure it would come back to me if I started doing it again. But
yeah,
I love what you guys are doing, man. And it's awesome to see young brothers like you and your brother out there doing that. And you have something to say with your designs and your artwork. And using Star Wars is amazing. I also have, when I saw you guys at Albuquerque Comic Con, I bought a couple more shirts. And it was really cool to also buy a Oka Standoff shirt and give it to Ming Chen from the Comic Book Men, because he had seen my shirt.
Yeah,
He was like, wow, that's an amazing shirt. Where'd you get it? And I said, these young brothers downstairs got them. And he goes, oh, cool. And I knew he wouldn't be able to make it down there because he was like constantly busy. But I said, you know what, dude, I'll get you one. So that's really cool. And he was really happy. And he loves your artwork as well as the shirt. So it's cool. And my fingers are crossed that he wears it on the TV show, but I don't know. We'll see. Maybe the Star Wars thing. Maybe the Star Wars thing will. They'll tell him not to advertise or something. But I mean, he's still, Ming Chen goes all over the place, and I'm sure he'll wear it. It'll pop up somewhere. But
yeah, that's so cool though.
Do you like you said, your mother's, they make regalia. Do you dance or sing?
I just started doing grass dance. I've always wanted to do grass dance when I was little, because my brother and my sister danced when they were younger, but once I was born, they stopped. And then every time I went to Powers to Sell, I always thought it would be cool to dance. But it took a while for me to get my outfit, because my parents were always constantly busy. But once I graduated from high school, I kind of got my regalia, and I was able to dance. And it was really nice, something different. My mom, when she was younger, she was really big into dancing powwow, the power career. And so she kind of introduced me and had me start the right way of how you be introduced into the circle of dancing. And so it was an experience and something really cool to do for me.
Right on. That's cool. My kids, my younger ones, except for my really youngest, he's went to powwows and he's seen his brother and his sisters dance. And he just, I don't know, I guess it just wasn't for him. But my son, Kyle, he's no longer with us, but he was an excellent grass dancer. And it's amazing, man. If you just keep doing it, man, it's an amazing feeling. I've never actually went out there in regalia and danced, but I've done round dances and everything, and I have been out there with our people dancing, and it's a good inspiration for all of us, especially as a young, like with your art, seeing the younger generation seeing you out there dancing, it's always good for them, it makes me feel good to see the younger generation out there. So man, keep it up. And
yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Right on. As far as your artwork, what design wise for your t-shirts, what do you have anything that's coming out soon or in the works?
Yeah, I have a few, make possibly two designs that might be coming out soon. I just have to keep working on them and try my balance school at the same time. But one of them is inspired by Wounded Knee, because my great grandpa, he was in Wounded Knee, but he was arrested for bringing weapons to AIM. And so I want to do a t-shirt about that. And then I want to do another t-shirt for the women, because every time we go sell, there's a lot of women that feel inspired about our t-shirts. And a lot of them kind of agree of how it's hard for women, and especially Indigenous women, to try to do something to, it's really what they do. It's super strong that they have what they have to do. And so I want to do a t-shirt for them to kind of show that you guys are strong and that we don't take you for granted or anything like that. Like a lot of the women in my family, especially, have always like raised up families on their own, and it's super inspiring to hear of things that they do.
Yeah, I mean, if it wasn't for the women in all of our lives, I mean, we wouldn't be here. As well as we have to respect our mothers, our grandmothers, our sisters, and just in women in general. And we all live here on Mother Earth, and we're all a part of it. So, I mean, that's really, really important to not just Native people and you and I. It's everybody, and sometimes some of these people don't see it that way. So as far as your spiritual beliefs, and was that taught to you by your parents? Because from my parents, and they always taught me the ways of the Navajo beliefs, and I always think that way. I mean, yes, there is the like the church aspect and everything. I never really went to church, but I do have family and friends that go, and I was always more of what the elders, the Navajo elders have taught me, as well as other Native elders taught me on how to believe in the Native ways. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, the way I was kind of brought up, my mom didn't really know that much about our Oneida side, because her dad never taught her, and it's a different story with that side, because it was kind of the boarding school kind of hit that part of our family, and so I didn't really know that much about my Oneida side. But my dad, he kind of taught us a little bit, but I guess it wasn't a lot compared to like other Navajos, where they know more ceremonies and know the language. And for me, it was kind of hard, because I knew about the bare minimum. The only person that kind of taught me the most was my brother, because he went to school and I would always ask him questions, and he kind of knew more, and he would teach me about the traditions, the stories. And so the main thing I try to remember is that there's a balance. There's always has to be good. There's always has to be bad. And that's kind of how the main subject within my Navajo and Oneida, that's kind of the connection that they have between each other. And so I try to respect them both. I try to ask questions so I know more about it. But I try to make sure that I don't forget where I come from and I know where I come from.
Right there. That's awesome. I mean, never forget who you are and as well where you come from. And that's awesome that your brother is teaching that, as well as your parents and other family members. But your brother saw that he wanted to teach you the ways of the Force. We'll put it that way. I mean, and that's awesome. And like you said, there's always a good. There's the light side and the dark side of the Force. And to me, I always look at everything. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, so I've been there from the beginning. I'm an old guy, so I've been there from the beginning in 77. So, I mean, Star Wars has been that much to me in my life. I mean, if you walk through my house, in every room there's something Star Wars. It could be the littlest thing, but there's Star Wars as well as my family. I mean, my kids grew up with it, and they all love it, as well as my wife. So, but just before we wrap this up, speaking of Star Wars, when did that come into your life? And when did that come into your life and change it?
Yeah. And so it's kind of funny though, because like how most people are brought up, they're brought up through the traditional ways. They learn all that stuff. But me and my brother growing up, we didn't really grow up with that. We kind of grew up in movies. The first sci-fi movie that kind of got us into sci-fi was The Fifth Element. But then we knew Star Wars then, but that's the only movie we had when we stayed with our grandma. And that's kind of got us into sci-fi. And then we got the movies. I think the movie Star Wars Episode 1 came out. And that was like the first movie I ever saw in a movie theater. And so ever since that, Star Wars was like amazing. And I always quoted the movie when I was younger. And ever since then, we always went to like the openings of like episode 2, episode 3. And then my dad got me all the older, the episode 4, episode 5, episode 6. And so ever since then, I would always watch those movies when I was younger. And so that's what kind of got us into Star Wars. And that's what kind of helps with our designs, is because we became such of a Star Wars geek, and we kind of know Star Wars, like kind of got to the geekiness of Star Wars is where now that we know our traditions and our history and our culture, we kind of like, hey, there's a connection with Star Wars, where Star Wars kind of got the ideas, and there's a little connection that kind of could help people kind of like relate to it. And so that's what we kind of do with the design.
I mean, that's awesome, dude. I mean, just looking at your guys' table and seeing what you guys have done with Star Wars and the native side of it. I mean, it's awesome, dude. And I cannot thank you enough, as well as your brother, for you guys coming on the show. I interviewed your brother down at the con, and I meant to interview I meant to interview you, but I was like, when you were there, you guys were like constantly busy, so I was like, I didn't want to stop the flow, so that was good. I'll get to them when I can, and I definitely didn't want to put this episode out without you being on it. So you were the last part of this show to be on here, so I can put it out, because Comic-Con was weeks ago, and I still haven't put this out yet. My listeners have been waiting. When's the next episode? I said, it's coming. Just hold on. But now I can finally put it out. But where can my listeners see your artwork?
So I have an Instagram. It's under m_ endware. And you can find me there. Or you can find us under Reclaim Designs, and I'll post some artwork on there on Facebook. We have a page of a company or a t-shirt designs we have there. But yeah, that's Reclaim Designs, and my Instagram would be m_ end warrior. And that's my personal Instagram. And then if you want me and my brother both, our Instagram is the same thing, Reclaim Designs. We share our Instagram. And so, yeah.
Can
so you can get my artwork.
Can people order shirts from there as well?
Yeah, you can order shirts from there. Just let us know like what size and what kind of design you want, and we can work something out, and then we can ship it to you.
Right on, man. Definitely. That's awesome, dude. I'm glad. And we will meet again, brother.
For sure. That'd be cool.
I often come down to your area. Like I told you, I'm in California, but I do make it down to Albuquerque and everything. So next time I'm down there, man, I'll definitely give you guys a call, and we can go have dinner and hang out. And who knows, maybe we'll do another episode with all three of us sitting right there. So
cool.
That'd be definitely be awesome. You know what? I want to do that. After the Han Solo movie comes out, I will come down and we will all sit down. You know, I can actually come down and we can all go see it. And then when the movie's over,
That'd be cool.
We can sit down and talk about it and everything. So that'd be cool, man. That'd be awesome if I could do that with you guys.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I would appreciate that.
Cool. Right on, man. But hey, man, thank you so much for coming on. And I have nothing but the best to say about you and your brother and your artwork. And I have my heart goes with you guys on your journey forward with all your designs and everything you guys do with your life. So, hey, everybody.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate you saying thank you and kind of appreciating our artwork.
Yep, right on, brother. Hey, man. Hey, everybody, that's going to be the end of this show right now. I'm just going to wrap it up right here. The N-Warrior Brothers, awesome guys. Ming Chen, thank you so much for being on the show. And I will talk to you guys all later. Hey, until then, rock hard and skate fast. And the Force is with us, and we are with the Force. Talk to you guys later.
Yeah.